Good morning. It's good to see all of you here, especially day after Christmas, because we know that there may be folks that are, this is their Christmas family get together. I know Linda and I were talking about, you know, when our kids were little, we had to go to Mama's house and Grandma's house and the other Pam's Mama's house and Pam's Grandma's house and all these other places. So we're so glad that you're here, and we came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. And I happen to think of something. In the newsletter, I've tried to thank all of you for helping to make slaw and cook barbecue and dispense it, and all of you that came and bed apart, put the furniture in and out, and came last Sunday night and a part of that. But you know, one thing, in order to have events, you got to have a chief honcho. And Jeff was the one for the barbecue, and Leonard was the one for the program last night. And so, you know, without somebody ramrodding the thing, it wouldn't get done. Amen. So we appreciate Jeff, and we appreciate Leonard for taking care of a lot of details and getting these things together. We had a great time last Sunday night, and it just special to listen as you shared in song and testimony and in other ways. Maybe pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. We celebrate Jesus today, but we celebrate Jesus every day. And Father, we thank you for that baby in a manger, but we thank you for that Savior on the cross. We thank you for that empty tomb, and we thank you for that resurrected Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory and honor and power. And we thank you, Father, for the promise that one day there's going to be a trumpet blast, a shout of an archangel, and we're going to see Jesus coming again to receive his church. And we thank you that because of our relationship with Jesus, we're going to be a part of that glorious, glorious resurrection eternity. Now, Father, we pray that you'll be a part of this service. We want you to know that you're welcome. Speak to every heart. Encourage, challenge, warn, bless, direct as we need it. We want you to know we love you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. We're about to start a new year, and I look forward to it. I look forward to what God has in store for us. Pastor, I thank you for the kind words, but I always remember this: to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Without him, I am nothing. Without him, I will surely fail. And as long as Jeff and I keep that, and I know he feels the same way, God's work will be done. We thank for everybody that had a part. It was beautiful, beautiful. All right, let's sing a song. Let's sing a hymn this morning. As he leadeth me, O blessed thought, page 52, as we stand, please. And let's sing 1, 2, and 4 as we sing this morning.
He leadeth me by his own.
Somebody this morning to church. Again, we welcome you this morning. We welcome our visitors. It's good to see you this morning. Good to all be here. I told you to welcome everybody, and that's what you're doing. That's wonderful. I can't say a word except amen. But this morning I do have a few announcements for you, not as many as usual, but I will say this, that our Lottie Moon, I wanted to let you know about Lottie Moon. It finishes up today, but Lottie Moon offering as of today is $3,278, and praise the Lord. So I think that's just wonderful, wonderful. Let's not forget, now we continue to have our Wednesday night prayer service and Bible study. Be here and have a good time in the Lord. It's just we need to do that. And we'll start a new year up. Won't be long, Kathy. We'll be talking about January of 2022. And that's going to be an interesting year. I hope and pray for the best for all of us. Does anybody have any announcements that I may have overlooked anywhere? Okay. All right. We'll come up. Lionel's got his hand up. Lionel, yes, sir.
Don't worry, Ann. I have an extra.
Yes, sir. There we go. So there, Ann. I knew someone would come to the rescue. Well, we're going to. All right, Lionel. How's Daddy Heath, Mr. Heath? Yeah, and of course you've got Mama Kitty.
Yeah.
You've got somebody special with you today. Why don't you tell us about that? Right over there beside of you.
Sam?
Les was here. All right.
My daughter Leslie, I don't know if all of you know Leslie.
Yeah.
She's been gone for 24 years. And she's on her way back home.
She's coming back home, right? Yeah, that's true too. Congratulations, Les. All right. Any other announcements before we go to our prayer? Yes.
I'll go ahead and do this. Mama got home. She moved in with us on Tuesday, and everything's going well with her. She wanted to let everyone know thank you so much for Christmas cards. She has read through each and every one of them, and she put them in a little basket by her table, and she said she's going to continue reading them throughout the year and pray for each one of y'all. So she feels really bad she wasn't able to do her own this year, but she says she'll get back into it next year. But thank you so much. It meant a lot.
I'm glad she's home. I know you are. So yes, perfect. Are. I've also got her on the prayer list today, and I know that adjustments are going to be there. We need to.
Please pray for our new normal.
All right.
It's not normal.
But we are like Bonnie. We're just thankful we have her, and I feel blessed. I can lay my head.
Yeah. Well, before I leave the announcements, I do feel it's necessary to thank Diane Smith. She came by and dropped a lot of good old Raymond calendars in the box. Oh, just so you'll know, this is an important piece of document right here. It's going to snow on the 3rd and again on the 8th. Look it up, tell you, it's there. I mean, sure, they're close as anybody. But anyway, I want to thank Diane, and I think we're out of them, but I think Diane will probably get...
Well, I was trying to tell you all ago, there are a few in people's boxes in there that they haven't picked up.
Yeah, okay. All right, get your Raymond calendars out there. Good. We thank Diane Smith for her thoughtfulness there. All right, any other announcements? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, well, I know, bless Mary's heart, she's been a real trooper through all these years. I mean, she really, really has. Anybody else? Anything else before we go to our prayer requests? Okay.
But plan on attending, and we got a good speaker coming. Really excited about it.
Wonderful. Baptist men, don't forget, we're going to start having breakfast again. And no, it's not going to be Danish, and it's not going to be donuts. We're going to have to cook, aren't we, big guy?
For the first one, anyway.
All right. No other announcements. We'll go into our prayer request at this time. Let's remember the Jesse Hathcock family. Jesse's passed away, and Jesse was a member of our church for many, many years, and so we'll keep him in the family in our prayers there. And Neil, I have Neil down in our prayer request this morning, because Neil is a big adjustment, so coming up for you and the family, and we pray for them. Are there other prayer requests this morning? Unspoken. Okay. Let's see. Okay, read it. David, how is Sam?
Sam can probably come off.
And okay, and then your brother? And Paul, okay. All right. Anyone else?
Don't remember my mother.
Okay. Anywhere else?
Well, my brother's home from the hospital, but he's on oxygen and will be for probably another 2 weeks.
He's got his home.
Does he have to use a walker to get around?
Do what?
Does he have to use a walker to get around?
No. But his oxygen line doesn't reach to the deer stand.
Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for this day that you've given us. And Lord, we're so thankful for the ones that are here. We're thankful for the ones who prioritize their time, Lord, and say, today we will be in your house. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the health that's brought them here. And then their willingness, Lord, to worship you. And after all, that's why we're here, to worship your name. We thank you, Lord, for the Christmas season that we have just completed. And as we look forward, Lord, into year 2022, we would ask your blessing upon it. Lord, I know there'll be challenges for us and new challenges ahead. But with you, Lord, we will overcome. And we'll overcome the problems that might occur. But we thank you, Lord, for your guidance. And we thank you, Lord, for your power. Lord, there's those that we need to remember this morning as we lift up the Jesse Haycock family. We pray for him, for the family, as they have lost their loved one. And then, Lord, there's Miss Nail, as she's back home. We pray for her. We pray for patience with her. And then, Lord, we pray for adjustment time. And we pray for the family, the caregivers who will be looking after her. We lift up Rita's unspoken this morning. And, Lord, I'm so thankful that you know exactly what she needs. And we pray for her. We pray for David's family. We pray, continue to pray for Paul. And Lord, we pray for David's mother, is about to have surgery. We lift her up to you. And then Lord, there's Jeff's mother. We pray for her and lift her up to you as well, and as a pastor's brother. Those of people, Lord, that we know are hurting, and Lord, that we need a touch from you. And we pray, Lord, that you would fit a blessing to their hearts and their bodies. And Lord, we pray, Lord, you give them healing if it be your precious will. Now, as we go forward in today's service, Lord, we pray a blessing upon those who will have a part. And Lord, we are so thankful for the one who gives of themselves each and every week to come and to give their talents that we may all worship in truth. Now, and as we go forward now, Lord, we ask that you be with us, continue to be with us, and all the things that happened, Lord, today, and all the things that are undertaken, Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the blessings, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, we mentioned a while ago the Christmas program that we had. We had one young man that couldn't come and be with us because of illness, and that was Lionel. Lionel was scheduled. And, oh, by the way, before I talk about that, Lionel, if you'll give me just a moment, I'm so impressed with the fact that I never had to call anybody and beg them or plead with them to come and speak or to sing. It was all volunteer. Isn't that beautiful? Think about it. I mean, that was just God working through it all. And it was all beautiful. Lionel was one that volunteered early, and he was ready to come. But his dad became ill, and he had to be with his dad. And I say amen to that. That's where he needed to be. But he's here today, and he still wants to share with us, and I think it's wonderful. Lionel, if you would please come and share with us at this time. Sound like me, but it'll be all right.
I'll never sound like you, Leonard. That's the half truth. Leonard called me on the 14th. I didn't call him. But I had pre-prayed for an opportunity to speak, and God had laid this on my heart to share, so I want to do that. And I thank you for the opportunity. Even though I'm a little bit late, I feel like it's never too late to share what God lays on your heart. We forgot to thank someone when we were thanking Leonard and Jeff for their consistent leadership that they have given us over the years. We need a shepherd, and we've got a shepherd right here. Amen. I'd like to thank Pastor Ed and his wife Pam for leading us down the path that you have over these past 4 years. We love you, and we thank you for it. We really do.
Amen.
Yes. Where do I start? I jotted down a few things that God laid on my heart, and I wrote big, so it's not many words. My Christmas testimony, this is what this is. I learned this morning that 1,685 years ago, we celebrated our first Christmas. Thank you, Kenny, for a wonderful lesson that you taught this morning. I really enjoy hearing you speak. It was in 336 A.D. was our first Christmas. Now, I just had 69 years of Christmas. Many of them I don't remember, being too young, and many of them just seem to fade away. Many of you have more than 69. Many of you have less than 69. But Leonard said, what was your favorite Christmas? And I was riding down the road on the 14th of December thinking about that question he asked me. And I'm thinking, how do you rate your Christmases? As a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a parent, as a senior, as a grandparent, a great-grandparent, as a believer, as a non-believer, how do you rate your Christmas? Have you had your best Christmas yet? I remember as a child, well, before I talk about just a brief little bit of history, I read this, and I want to share this with you. The word manger. What do you think about when you think of the word manger? The word translates meaning feed trough. How about the word Bethlehem? What do you think about Bethlehem? That word means house of bread. Isn't it amazing that Mary placed the bread of heaven in a common feed trough for the whole world to feast on? The manger was the first supper, and the shepherds received the revelation of the gospel before one word of the New Testament was ever written. Isn't that amazing? John 6:55 says, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Boy, if that ain't the truth, I don't know what is. The baby Jesus was laid not in a nice wooden cradle, but on a stone. And from the moment of his birth, Christ was wrapped in a rock, emerging from a womb of flesh into a womb of stone, prefiguring the tomb in which this king was born to die would be buried. Yet even his stone tomb would open yet another birth beyond all conception. I'm thinking that is the most amazing how God planned that out from the very beginning. Again, let's think about Christmas. Go back. Who can remember the first Christmas? I can remember the excitement. I can remember how wonderful and how big everything seemed. I remember going to Sears in Charlotte. I thought that was the other end of the world. I got to see a train going around. I got to see Santa Claus. The shopping, the decorating, the church plays with the curtain that you used to draw across the front here. And Christmas Eve, how hard was it for you to go to sleep? Gosh, that was hard for my sister and I. I can remember just dreaming in the hopes that Santa would fit down that chimney and maybe bring something that I had been dreaming of. And then I remember as a teenager. And then I got a job working in retail in downtown Albemarle, and I thought, man, I had arrived. I worked in sales. People were coming in and shopping and going door to door. And the experience of serving people and seeing people excited in a small town going door to door and getting to know the people next door, even though they were competitors, working with them and getting to know them was so much fun. And I miss those times. It really seemed like that experience doesn't exist anymore. I mean, now we just Google it and call upon Amazon, and it arrives. It's not the same. And I remember as a young father, boy, did Christmas change. The preparation changed. I'm getting some nods from you young people out there now. Christmas Eve took on a whole new meaning, if you know what I'm saying. And you didn't seem like you got a lot of sleep on Christmas Eve, did you? But that was special. and seeing the excitement in those young eyes brought Christmas alive again as us as adults. And I can remember waking up one time on Christmas morning all by myself, and I was wondering, will I ever have a family to wake up again with on Christmas morning? And God answered those prayers. And I got to spend my 32nd year, or 32nd Christmas, with the family I now call family. And this Christmas is going to be special, because we're going to be sharing Christmas in our home, first time with all the family. They're flying in from Minnesota today for the first time to share Christmas with us. So I'm looking forward to that. And so I ask myself again, what is my best Christmas? I don't think it's happened yet. I think the best is yet to come. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Because I'm planning on sharing the real meaning of Christmas with my family while they're all there this year. That's what God's been laying on my heart, Leonard. And that's what I want to do. But I kept wondering, why is it that we only think about Christmas in December? And I'm thankful that the manger of Christ is not only in Bethlehem. And in the words of St. Jerome, who lived in the little town of Bethlehem in the 4th century, he wrote these words: "Blessed are they that possess Bethlehem in their hearts, in whose hearts Christ is born daily." My advice to you this Christmas is, don't put away all your Christmas decorations this year. Leave Christmas visible in your lives every day.
Thank you, Lionel.
Let's sing. Let's sing a song of praise, if you would please. Let's sing "Oh Worship the King," and that's page 16. And or if it's on the board, we're going to do two verses as we stand. "Oh Worship the King."
Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor.
Young people, young children, you are now dismissed.
Thank you, Lionel, for sharing what was on your heart. You know, of course, right now we're doing our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Just a month ago, we were doing the Baptist Children's Home offering. And I was looking in the Charity and Children, the newspaper of the children's home. And if I didn't misread it, it says that next year they will minister to 195,000 people. I mean, sometimes we think about, you know, a few little orphan kids or abandoned kids somewhere. But when you think of all the different children's homes, the different places where that we have ministry, and now they're working with senior adults, mentally challenged folks, the children's home down in, is it Honduras?
Guatemala.
All the different places. And you know, your offerings make a difference. Amen. Not just in a few little kids, but in extended families around the world. And we just appreciate the way you give. When I got to thinking about what I was going to preach this morning, and I had a theme, and all of a sudden, this silly little poem came to my mind that I wrote. And it's okay to laugh when I get done.
You're not going
to
sing, are you?
No, just going to. What did somebody say last week? I was a rapper. "'Twas the day after Christmas, and out by the road were many empty boxes of treasures Santa did unload. Along came a thief and said to himself, 'I'll bring these folks grief. Those treasures I'll take for myself.'" And that's a reminder that law enforcement tells you, don't, right after Christmas, go out there and put out a big old box that says, giant screen TV, latest game, console or whatever, fancy computer. Because a lot of times thieves are riding by looking, say, huh, I'll make myself a list. That's a house I want to stop at later because they've got some fancy new stuff. But it's caution not to put stuff out. Well, this morning I want to talk about a thief, a different one. I want to talk about the devil and your relationship, because the devil wants to steal from you. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." Steal, kill, destroy. And then Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, and a life that's more abundant." And on a constant daily basis, from the time we're born to the time we step into eternity, we're confronted with the fact that there's an enemy that wants to destroy, to steal from you, to steal from me, to do things that would harm us. In other words, the devil is not your friend. He does not want the best for you. He does not have your best interest in his heart. His desire is to steal from you. Now, the first thing he'd love to steal is your salvation. He'd love to send you to eternity with him in torment forever. That's his ultimate goal. But I know that most of us here this morning are believers. But once you were saved, the devil didn't say, well, too late. Nothing I can do about that now. Even though you're saved, the devil still wants to steal some things from you. Now in the book of Luke, Jesus gives the verse where he says, if the good man of the house knows that a thief's coming, he prepares. If you knew that tonight somebody was going to come and try to rob you, you're going to make sure all the doors are locked, all the windows are locked, and your gun's loaded. And you may be sitting there in your recliner with the gun across your lap. You're going to be ready. You're going to be prepared for that thief. Now, in the book of James, in the fourth chapter, he says, submit to the Lord and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. In other words, Jesus says, through James, you make your life totally submissive to me. And then when in that authority, when the devil comes, you can resist him and he can't stand it. When you stand in the authority of Jesus, and you think, well, I'm just a little old person. Who am I? All it takes is one policewoman or policeman. We had a lady in the church out in Oklahoma. She was a major. And I don't believe she's but this high. In the Broken Arrow Police Department. When she said, because the whole police department backed her up. The laws of Oklahoma backed her up. And if she couldn't get it done, the National Guard would back her up. It wasn't how big and strong and tough she was. It was who was on her side and who was backing her up. You may think, well, I'm the least in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, you submit to me, you resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, there's some things the devil wants to steal from you, and that's what I want to talk about. First thing the devil wants to steal from you is your joy. The devil wants to steal your joy. In the book of Nehemiah, in the 8th chapter, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, the devil wants to steal your joy because he knows if you're joy in the Lord, you're going to be strong in the Lord. You're going to have strength in battles. You're going to have strength in the difficult times of life. He knows that you can walk in power and in victory and overcoming victory. Now, how does he try to steal your joy? Hurt feelings. Angry words. Disappointments. Feeling like people let you down. Feeling like God let you down. And it's amazing how the Lord tries to, how the devil tries to steal our joy. And all of us have difficult times in life. There are times in life when it's like somebody just walks up and hits us in the stomach and it knocks all the air out of us. And for a moment, we don't know what to do or what to say, but what comes next? Is it, oh me, or praise the Lord? Is it blankety blank blank, or is it praise the Lord? The devil wants to steal your joy. You say, well, preacher, is it possible to have joy in tough times? Remember what Paul wrote to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, Paul, that's easy for you to say. Well, where did Paul experience some of that joy? In Philippi, in a jail, where they just beat him half to death, threw him in the innermost prison. put him in stocks. All illegally, without a trial. They just beat him and Paul and Silas, and at midnight they're doing what? Praying and praising God and singing. Paul, is it possible to rejoice evermore, even in difficult times? Oh, yes. Now, for most of us, it's a learned thing. I'm getting there, but I'm not all the way there yet. But at least I'm on the way. The devil wants to steal your joy. And he knows your triggers. And he knows my triggers. And there are things that wouldn't bother me at all, that just would really bug you. And there are things that would bother me. And you say, well, preacher, why are you upset about that? Well, I've got a different trigger than you have. But Satan wants to steal your joy. And you see, rejoicing is a choice. Rejoicing is a choice. We can get up every day and rejoice in the Lord, or when tough times come, we can rejoice, or we can moan and groan and complain. It's our choice. The devil also wants to steal your commitment to Jesus. I'll read these verses, John 6. And really they come right after the verses that Lionel read about Jesus being the bread and his blood being the drink. And that sort of staggered some folks' mind. And so in John 6, verse 65, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Jesus had a lot of big crowds. But there came a time when many of them went away. Paul tells us in the letters about Paul, tells us about a guy named Demas. And in one letter, Demas is working with Paul. You know, he's just a sort of a footnote. And then in the next letter, Demas is just sort of mentioned. And then the third time it says, Demas has departed. He fell in love with the world. He fell in love with the world. The devil wants to steal our commitment to Jesus. Now, as we think about Christmas and New Year's, I want to ask you to raise your hands, because probably every hand would go up. How many of us at this time of year, sometime in the past, said to ourselves, next year I'm going to be more faithful in church. Next year I'm going to give more to the Lord. Next year I'm going to read my Bible more faithfully. Next year I'm going to spend more time in prayer. Next year I'm going to read my Bible all the way through. Next year I'm going to share my testimony with other people. And along about March you realize, ooh, I'm 147 chapters behind. And you see, the devil wants to steal that commitment that we make. He wants to steal it in a lot of different ways. That church faithfulness. when our kids were little, and I'm sure that those of you who have little kids will maybe identify with this. When our kids were little, they would be fine 6 days a week. But Saturday night, if they were going to have pain and crying all night from teething or strep throat, that was the night it was going to happen. That was the night that they were going to keep us up most of the night. And you know, it sure is fun to go to church when you haven't had any sleep. It's even more fun when you have to put a smile on your face and preach. And to add to the fun, you walk in and some knucklehead complains about the way you've mowed the parsonage yard. And then his equally knuckleheaded brother complains because your wife doesn't open the drapes to the parsonage soon enough every morning. Jerry and I talk about writing a book about weird funerals. And this morning I was thinking I could write one about weird funerals, another one about strange weddings, another one's about people that were like Paul's thorn in the flesh, but then the fourth one would be about the good church folks have been a blessing. You know, sometimes the devil does everything in his power to steal our commitment to the Lord. We try to sit down and read our Bibles, and you get one of those robocalls that, hey, this is your Medicare representative. Or the insurance on your car, you know, your it's expired, and or you know, all those different things. And you're sitting there, you're trying to think holy thoughts, and you're trying to concentrate on the Lord, and you're wanting to reach through the phone and grab somebody. You see, the devil is doing everything in his power to keep you from being committed to the Lord. But the wonderful thing is, he doesn't have to win. He doesn't have to win. Okay, so I got interrupted. Where was I? Oh, you want to mess with me today, devil? Instead of two chapters, I'll read four. Instead of praying 10 minutes, I'll pray 20. Instead of just going to church on Sunday morning, I'll go back on Wednesday night as well. You see, we have choices to make. And like Jesus said, if we know that the thief is coming, and we know he's trying to steal our joy, and we know he's trying to steal our commitment, then we can prepare ourselves and we can do those things that are necessary to be victorious over the devil. Now, it's so easy sometimes to get discouraged. But folks, it's possible to walk in victory. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. And to me, this is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's encouraging. Paul, as he writes these Philippian brothers and sisters, says, listen, I have confidence in Jesus. Jesus started a good work in you. And he will continue to do that good work in you until he comes back, till you go to glory or until he comes back. Now we have to cooperate with him, but it's his work, his wisdom, his power, his grace, his glory working in us and through us that helps us to grow and mature and be what God wants us to be. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, and follow along. Again, that's our choice. There's a little tidbit of news on my phone yesterday about how many pastors or clergy that are just quitting because of the pandemic. No, that's not a reason to quit. Don't let the devil win. He hates it when you keep going. He hates it when you don't quit. When you endure to the end. When your commitment is complete and total. And you remember, on one occasion, Peter asked Jesus about, well, now, Lord, we've left houses and lands and all of these things to follow you. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. You'll have more houses, more lands than that you can imagine. And in eternity, eternal life. There are thieves out here that want to steal your stuff. But more importantly is the devil wants to steal your salvation. He wants to steal your commitment. He wants to steal your joy. Don't let him do that. Make 2022 a year of joy. And know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Make 2022 a year of commitment, knowing that the commitment of the Lord, and as you stay committed to him, he that began a good work in you when you were saved will keep right on working with you, working with you, working with you, working with you, until you step into glory or until the trumpet blows. There's a thief about. Be warned, be ready, be victorious. Keep your gun loaded. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If there's anyone here that's never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or anyone in the parking lot, or anyone listening on the web, today I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. If you're in this building, I pray that you'll just walk down this aisle and say, today I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you're in the parking lot, I pray that as we leave, that you'll just roll down the window and wave, ask somebody to come over and talk to you about being saved. If you're on the website, I pray that you'll call me or some other Christian that you know that's really a born-again believer. Talk to them about giving your heart to Jesus. And I challenge myself and I challenge each of you. Don't let the thief steal your joy or your commitment. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Depend on the truth of those words. God began a good work in you, and he's going to keep on doing it as you follow him. Thank you, Father, for that promise. now. May the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.